The millions of dollars thrown into these corporate and charitable PR campaigns are focused on detection of the disease rather than on the more crucial needs of developing preventative measures and cures, caring for those who do get the cancer, and mounting an all-out research effort to determine its environmental causes. What do we have to show for the billions spent on pink ribbon products? Asked the director of the activist group Breast Cancer Action. A lot of us are done with awareness, she says. We want action. This is Jim Hightower saying, we've had 25 years of what breast cancer activists now call pinkwashing, yet the disease is as rampant as ever. Wearing a pink ribbon is not enough. To help shift the effort into causes, cures, and caring, go to BreastCancerDeadline2020.org. BreastCancerDeadline2020.org.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
Say hey, it is Monday. The time is 5:33 right here on Say Hey, KZFR, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio program. My name is Jake, joined as always by Noobs. How you doing?
Singing in the rain, baby.
Singing in the rain. It's wonderful to see your breath outside in the daylight.
Yep.
God, that's good. I had a good weekend. Did you have a good weekend?
I did.
Yeah?
It was mellow.
Mellow.
But it was good.
Mine was not mellow.
No.
But it was still good.
Nice.
I was a little tired yesterday. Let's get it rolling. We're gonna break our code for the right reason today. We're going to start by talking NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it's not good talk about the NFL, but
rarely is.
We'll get right into it. Cowboys defensive end Greg Hardy, who shouldn't be playing football,
no,
for the things that he did to his then girlfriend a year and a half ago. Deadspin got a hold of the photos of the actual physical pain he inflicted upon her, and they put him out this week. They published him, and it's really brutal. I mean, just like it's not good. It's as bad as you would think it would be. And I think for a lot of people, you don't need photos to know that somebody like that shouldn't be in the league. But there's always something extra that happens when things like that do get put out, whether it needs to be like that or not.
Yeah, I kind of liken it to the Ray Rice situation.
Mm-hmm.
When we had the initial video of Janae getting dragged by her hair outside the elevator.
Right.
And so we obviously knew just from that alone that something drastically bad happened.
Uh-huh.
And then when the other video was released, with the, you know, he actually striking her.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of just like made it hit home. Like, you know what I mean? It filled in the blanks, so to speak. And so these pictures kind of like, we already knew that Greg Hardy was guilty of abuse. Now, he was cleared because in North Carolina, you know, they give the accused the right to go to jury, and then they wound up having an out-of-court cash settlement. But, you know, it's these pictures are horrifying, but, you know, like you just said, we don't need to have seen them to realize that this guy never really should have been allowed to play in the first place.
No, but that's the way the league works. And that's just what they do. And enablers like the Cowboys. And
oh,
the,
God.
And
Jerry is an enabler.
And the NFLPA.
He's a leader. He's our leader.
The NFL Players Association doubles down again and saying, well, it's our job to like work with our clients. And we have to respect their rights in the collective bargaining agreement. And we try to reduce their, you know, their suspensions on appeals. He got a 10-game suspension reduced to 4. And the NFLPA is actually sticking up for itself by saying it's our job to represent him because it's part of the collective bargaining agreement.
Well,
give me a break.
Well, that actually, I have to slightly disagree with you on that because it's just like a defense lawyer. I mean, a defense lawyer might know that his client is guilty of murder, but he still has to defend them.
It is. But at the same time, it's like with the NFL, I mean, they don't have any limits within their own world. They're right. Like, you know, we'll just do whatever we want.
Right.
Like, we don't care if, like, we know this guy was guilty of this crime and it's been proven.
Yeah.
We'll just do it anyway. And we'll you know, there's just no limits. And it got turned over by an arbitrator. He only got a 4-game suspension. The Cowboys signed him to millions of dollars. And now he's one of their, quote, team leaders.
Yeah.
Even though he's a complete psychopath.
Oh, he's a psychopath.
Like, this dude, you watch the way he acts on the sidelines with his teammates, his coaches, his interactions with the media. He's nuts.
Yeah, no, he definitely comes across that way. I don't have any doubt that the guy is mentally unstable.
Right.
And some, you know, would argue, well, hey, what do you expect? He's a football player, and these guys, they have to be like that. And I would disagree with that. You know, there's plenty of guys. I mean, I would say 95% of the league, you know, are good men. And
yeah.
they don't abuse, you know, their spouses, and, you know, they don't drink and drive, and they don't carry guns through airports, and then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's, you know, a few of these bad seeds that make the league look bad. But really, you know, NFLPA aside, what I like to point to is the Jerry Jones of the world.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
It's up to these guys to make a stand and to say, what's more important to me? You know, our brand, you know, and how that relates to the fans, or do I really need a pass rusher that bad? Am I that desperate and hungry for wins because we haven't had a championship for quote unquote America's team.
Right.
You know what I mean? In 20 plus years. And it's just a sad statement, you know what I mean? And then he comes out and defends it, and you
triples
can see
down.
You know, you can see Jason Garrett, you know, the week before in the post game interview, kind of like, you know, he looked very uncomfortable saying, well, you know, it wasn't the best time, blah, blah, blah. And that's in regards to the incident where he slapped the clipboard out of the special teams coach's hands.
Right.
You know,
and let's not forget, he'd already made demeaning remarks about Tom Brady's wife through the media this year.
Oh, that was super skeevy.
Super weird.
I mean, oh, yeah, I hope Giselle brings her girlfriend. I mean, how tone deaf was that?
Yeah.
Considering that, you know, it was a domestic violence issue that he was dealing with.
Exactly. And so what we're left with is Greg Hardy's going to keep playing in the NFL. He's not going to get released.
Right.
I guarantee he keeps playing because that's what the Cowboys and Jerry Jones do. And other teams would have done the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, I think like the Buccaneers wanted him and
yeah.
blah, blah, blah. Anyway.
Panthers, by the way, haven't lost since he left, and the Cowboys haven't won since he got there.
That's a good point.
Just saying.
That's just saying. So I was, you know, everybody's worked up about it, and I was reading through the media this week quite a bit, and I noticed in Philly, because the Cowboys are playing the Eagles. They played last night.
Mm-hmm.
Those poor Cowboys. They lost.
Poor Jerry.
Poor Cowboys. There was a radio host in Philly on WIP, which is a sports talk program station. Anyway, this guy came up with a campaign called Screw Greg Hardy. He used GoFundMe. And he picked a women's shelter in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and they raised $20,000 in less than a week.
That's great.
And it just took off. And so I thought, well, why not try and do something similar in Chico?
Yeah.
So I put together today through this site called generosity.com, which is the nonprofit version of Indiegogo.
Mm-hmm.
It's a partner site. The same thing. I used the same title just to piggyback off of their idea. Screw
yeah.
Greg Hardy. You can go on Facebook. You can find the event page with the link to donate. If you go on Facebook right now and you type in Screw Greg Hardy Catalyst Chico, it'll take you to the page with the links. And all the money that we can raise for this, and I want to do it between now and the Super Bowl, just because that gives us a lot of time to see what we can get.
It's appropriate.
All the money that we'll raise will go to Catalyst Domestic Violence Services. And before the program tonight, we already had like 150 some odd bucks in there.
Yeah.
And Catalyst is a great organization here in Chico for a women's shelter. And they have to do their due diligence in how they want to approach any sort of fundraising with their name on it. So they're going to get back to us next week about how they'll be involved. You know, if they want us to change the name, for example, because Screw Greg Hardy's kind of, you know, guys like me and you giving a middle finger to somebody like that,
right.
You know, perhaps, you know, that could change, something
yeah.
like that. But the point is, we're trying to raise money for a good cause with something bad happening.
Yeah.
So if you're into it, look it up on Facebook, Screw Greg Hardy, Catalyst Chico. Right now, it's just us trying to raise money, and hopefully we get to partner with Catalyst officially next week. And the day after the Super Bowl, symbolically, we'll take whatever money we get, and I'm shooting for $5,000, which I think is reasonable.
That's
over
reasonable.
A few months.
Yeah.
And just walk over there and and give them thousands of dollars.
Yeah, Jake, I applaud you. I applaud you for taking this action. You know, whatever, anything that we can do is a positive.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, I'm in for 100. I hope some people do the same, even if it's 20 bucks or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. You know? And this is not, you know, us using KZFR Pledge Drive as a platform. This is a different thing.
No, this, yeah.
Yeah, this is a whole separate deal that, mm-hmm. that we're just pumping on our show.
Yeah.
So please look it up on Facebook. Screw Greg Hardy, Catalyst Chico. You'll find the link. Or look on my Facebook page, Jake Sprecher. It's a public event. It'll be right there, and you can donate through generosity.com, which is partners with Indiegogo, so it's a very reliable site. It's not there's nothing shady about it.
Yeah, I think this is definitely something that, you know, any time that attention can be brought to it, it is important because, you know, we hear about it in the news with these professional athletes and, you know, even sometimes musicians, things of that nature, but it's always a celebrity-driven thing. Mm-hmm. But I think sometimes we forget, like, how often, unfortunately, that these types of things happen.
Yeah.
And it happens in our backyard, and it happens in Chico, it happens in the North State, and, you know, some, you know, these people, women and children, they really have, like, very few places to turn to, and so, you know, Catalyst is a great thing, and what you're doing is great. And
yeah, my grandma sent me a message similar to that earlier tonight saying, like, you don't have to be a you don't have to be the girlfriend of like a rich superstar athlete to be abused.
No.
You know, so what money goes into places like Catalyst and smaller communities like Chico is just as important. It's just, you know, on a different side of the country.
Absolutely.
So that's where we're at, and we'll recap that at the end of the program. But let's move on to some sports talk.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should get right into some college football.
Yeah, big weekend.
Big weekend. You were excited about several games coming into this weekend, and I think that you got fulfillment in on your excitement level.
Yeah, I mean, it was a big one because, you know, so much implications as far as the playoffs. Last Tuesday, they released the first college football playoff rankings, which rankled a few people, especially those Big 12 fans. TCU, who was undefeated at the time, and Baylor, neither one got any nods. TCU went into Oklahoma State, into Stillwater, and got pretty much handled by the Cowboys this weekend. So I don't know if that, you know, validated the selection committee or whatever, but there's a lot of football to be played. You know, Alabama held serve against LSU, held Leonard Fournette to 31 yards, I believe, on 19 carries.
Mm-hmm.
His Heisman Trophy candidacy may be in jeopardy there, or is, I would say, as well as Trevon Boykin, quarterback from TCU. Michigan State got hosed late in Nebraska. I feel like there's a rule where if the receiver gets pushed out of bounds, he can come back and be the first to contact the ball. But looking back at the replay, he kind of went out of bounds on his own, came back. The refs held that one up. There was a crazy late play in Ole Miss and Arkansas. Arkansas winds up winning that one in overtime. A lot of SEC implications there. Clemson still undefeated, number one.
Beats
Florida State. And it's funny because the ACC really doesn't get any love. Aside from Florida State, but that's kind of one of those things where, like, it feels like a top heavy situation. Mm-hmm. Miami's been down for a while. You know, you look at some of the other programs there, you know, Virginia Tech's been down for a while. You know, Duke, North Carolina, typically Wake Forest, NC State, thought of as basketball schools, mm-hmm. predominantly. But you know, it could be big. I mean, North Carolina's got one loss. Clemson's undefeated. Those two seem to be on a collision course for the ACC championship first weekend of December. By my count, there's 15 teams, including Notre Dame, that all have one loss or fewer. I believe there's only four undefeated teams. So basically anybody that's got one loss, in my eyes, is still in it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had 3 1-loss teams in the playoff last year. So Michigan State, you know, if there's any Sparty fans listening to this, don't be too upset because you still have a chance to beat Ohio State and win your division.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you win the division and you beat Iowa, if Iowa goes into that Big Ten championship game undefeated, that win is going to look really good.
Right.
So if Michigan State is 12-1, I would have a hard time seeing the committee, you know, shunning them.
Right. Yeah. What's your take on Stanford?
My take on Stanford is that they just, you know, got off to a slow start, but they're a great program. Mm-hmm. I mean, a great school. You know, I believe they're hosting Oregon this weekend. Oregon, not, you know, not your older brother's Ducks.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a chance to run the table. If they win the Pac-12, You know, if they wind up facing off against Utah, if Utah gets in there with one loss still,
right,
both those teams would have one loss going into the conference championship game. I don't see why the winner of that wouldn't get a vote.
Right.
You know, and to me, I feel like we need to – something needs to happen here because we've got five major conferences and only four spots.
Right.
So, you know – this whole idea of like, oh, well, the SEC, like they kind of like people like think, well, no matter what, the championship, or, you know, the champion of that conference is getting in. Well, we really need to rethink this because I don't care if top to bottom, you know, they say that you're a better conference. If you go in 12-0 or 13-0 or, you know what I mean? Like you deserve to get in.
Right.
So even if Oklahoma State, who nobody penciled in the beginning of the year as being a contender, if they run the table, if they beat Oklahoma and Baylor, you can't keep the Cowboys out.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, but anyway, getting back to your question, Pac-12, I would say, you know, if you're a Cardinal fan, you know, keep the faith.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they win out, they should get in.
Right. And Memphis, did Memphis lose this week?
Memphis lost big.
That's right.
At home, the Navy. Navy presents that triple option, that old school running attack that hardly anybody runs anymore.
Mm-hmm.
College has kind of gotten into that that. You know, they run a pro-style offense. Almost everybody does now, you know. And Memphis, you know, nobody really sees it. Navy is 7-2, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? They actually got a chance to win the American. So, yeah, the midshipmen went in there and they handled them by like 25.
It. Yeah, but that was one of those teams where you figured it was high time for them to come down a notch.
For sure.
Yeah.
You know, but overall, though, I would say the American Athletic Conference has definitely turned some heads. Because Houston's had a great year. Temple has had a great year. Their only loss so far is to Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no shame there. Memphis had a good win against Ole Miss.
Right.
You know, and these are all like one loss teams at this point.
Right.
So, you know, as far as, you know, them being kind of like the forgotten sister, you know, kudos to the American because they got some good ball clubs over there.
I'm going to the Cal game this weekend.
Nice.
Cal-Oregon State. Unfortunately, Cal is kind of falling off the rails a bit.
Yeah.
But what are they, like 5-4 now?
Yeah, I think so. But they started out like 5-0.
They started out like 5-0. Yeah, so not happening there. But Oregon State's not real good, so I'd like to see the Bears win that game.
For sure.
Yeah.
And you're going to see a future NFL quarterback.
That's right. That's kind of what I'm looking forward to more than anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I mean, he'll probably come out Jared Goff after this year and be one of the top two or three quarterbacks taken, mm-hmm. I would assume.
Yeah.
In fact, if he does come out this year – and the Niners, you know, wind up with four or five wins. You never know.
See, I think it's funny that you bring that up because I feel like this is their opportunity to karmically redeem themselves for not taking Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers,
take a Northern California kid.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I've thought about that.
Because he could be good.
He's got the makeup.
He does.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to seeing him play. And then in Missouri, we have political football news, if you will,
right.
In that the Missouri football team basically said, we're going to strike until the president of the university is removed due to the continued civil unrest that happened. It's happening throughout the state and all over that campus, I guess,
right.
And that they weren't having it with the way that his administration dealt with it, and
but this wasn't even related to Ferguson.
This wasn't even stuff related that to Ferguson. Happened yeah, on it campus. Just happens to be a hotbed, the state.
Absolutely.
But sure enough, the president of the university resigned. He's gone,
and the chancellor too.
And chancellor too.
And you know, my hat's off to the Missouri football team. I mean, they literally have got. I don't know if there's an ESPY award for this, but they are probably the most progressive football program in the country.
Yeah, they probably
are. If you think about the way that they...
Michael Sam.
Yeah, they opened their arms to Michael Sam.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first, from what I know of, like, openly gay collegiate football player.
Yep.
You know, and he, you know, got his chance real briefly in the NFL. I don't know if he didn't really get a fair shot or not, but the point is that the Missouri football program, you know, is very forward-thinking. They use their leverage.
Right.
They knew that if that game against BYU this weekend got canceled, that was going to cost the university millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they used it, and they used it well. And the coach backed them up, which is huge because the coach is, you know, the highest paid state employee that there is.
Right.
I mean, if you think about it, the University of Alabama or any of these places, the football coach is the highest paid state employee.
It's pretty wild.
It's wild.
Yeah.
Not the governor, not the attorney general.
Right.
The football coach.
And what's more is if that had been the men's tennis team or the women's swim team Wouldn't have happened.
No.
It is, I guess, somewhat unfortunate that money talks, but it does. And like you said, kudos to the Michigan football team for knowing that.
And if you use it correctly, you can use it to your advantage. You can be the small guy that's still well, not small, but you know what I mean? They weren't like they used it and they flipped it on the head of the university.
Right, right. And you know, Michael Sam didn't wind up making it in the NFL, but you know, a story like that, it goes a long way.
It does.
A story like this could equally go a long way.
For sure.
It's not their problems at Missouri aren't going to be fixed overnight.
No, but I think this kind of gives a little wind, you know, underneath the wings of other collegiate athletes, you know, who maybe find themselves in similar situations, you know, from this point going forward. And maybe, this definitely kind of stamps the fact that, you know, student athletes do have power. They do have a voice. And when it comes to big time college athletics, whether it's basketball or football, you know, these voices need to be heard.
Right.
You know, especially when it comes to extremely important issues such as race and sexuality.
Right. And shifting from college football for the last 8 minutes of the program, let's talk some NBA hoops.
Yeah. How about the Warriors?
How about those Warriors, man?
Jeez.
They're playing, let me say, slightly like the Patriots are playing this season in the NFL.
Ticked off?
Ticked off. Like saying, like,
disrespected?
Don't you talk trash on us,
right?
Because we're bringing it.
That was the worst mistake the league could have done.
Right.
Because I on this very program, I said, they got the target on their chest, and they might come out a little lackadaisical. They're young, and maybe they partied a little too much. Well, I was wrong, and I'll be the first person to admit that I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it was so much Doc Rivers, Charles Barkley, or the rest of the media. Not that Rivers is a media, but you know what I mean? Like, everybody basically, I'd never seen a defending champion in any of the four major professional sports be so disrespected.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
And not only are they beating people, they're making them look silly.
They're making them look silly, making them look bad.
Yeah.
I mean, they beat the Grizzlies by 50 points
50
the other
points.
Night.
And how about the Clippers official tweet that said hashtag didn't lose by 50? How ridiculous is that? You lost the game.
Right.
Like the fact that you feel proud that you didn't get blown out, you lost.
Right. And it goes back to this thing where we have these official Twitter accounts for every professional sporting franchise now, and they are clearly run by like 20 some odd year old interns.
Yeah.
No, it's clear as day.
Yeah.
You've got some college kid in there with the voice of a billion-dollar sporting franchise.
Yeah.
And you wonder why this happens.
Yeah.
It's like, you'd have to be a moron.
I'd be embarrassed if I was Ballmer. I would have that kid fired.
Somebody's always getting fired for some Twitter controversy for a sporting franchise account. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Real quick though, they host the Pistons tonight,
right?
And the Pistons are the surprise of the East.
Oh yeah,
Drummond is averaging almost 20 and 20, and Stan Van Gundy, who I always thought did a really good job with a weak Orlando Magic roster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Detroit could be kind of a surprise there. They could be a playoff team.
That'd be kind of cool.
Not that that matters in the East.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're coming out. It's going to be the second night of a back-to-back for them. They actually were down like 17 to Portland last night.
Mm-hmm.
And wound up winning that game by like 13, 14 points, something ridiculous.
Yeah, the way that a game can swing is just so wild.
Basketball's insane like that.
Yep.
But yeah, if you guys are into it, check it out, because you might have a couple days ago thought, Pistons, who cares? Maybe I could miss this one. This could be a good game.
Yeah, yeah. And I want to make a note of Kevin Love's new look. Have you seen it?
Well, I know he looked like he got a perm. Did he change it?
Yeah, he's kind of got this grizzly man look going.
Okay.
And I kind of like to give Kevin Love a hard time for generating as much media hype as he has without doing anything over the years, even though he is a good player. But I got to say, I like his new look.
Hmm.
It's kind of a throwback. He's wearing like a headband. His hair is all scraggly, and he has this weird beard. And I have to give him style points for that.
Hmm.
So I'll take something back that I've said negatively about Kevin Love.
Cavaliers have started out pretty good too.
No, they have. I mean, they lost their first game. That doesn't matter. And but like you said, I mean, until you start playing the big boys in the West,
right?
You know, show me then.
Right.
But Toronto, another good start.
Yeah.
Yep.
They're one of those teams though that, I mean, they haven't won a playoff series.
Right.
So
have they? They've never won a single playoff series.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Wow. You know, remember when Toronto and the Grizzlies, Vancouver, they were expansion teams in the same year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was that like 93, 94, right in there?
Yeah, probably.
I remember when I was at the Olympics in 2010 as a volunteer. I was a press volunteer of the Alpine, you know, where all the skiing went down in Whistler.
Up in Vancouver?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I was in Whistler for the whole month, and I would ride the gondola or whatever you want, the chairlift up to the Alpine thing every morning. And I remember at one point this guy telling me, he was like an old Grizzlies fan, that he believed that drafting Bryant Reeves single-handedly killed the franchise in Vancouver.
Big Country?
Big Country. He honestly believed that had they taken somebody of more talent and quality, that team would have been successful in sticking around Vancouver. But they were so bad and so uninteresting because they drafted Big Country. And it's a bit extreme, but I'll always remember that.
That's possible. That's an interesting insight.
it's just kind of, you'd have to be from that area and have watched that team to say something
for
like
sure.
that.
For sure. I mean, Toronto had, they had Vince Carter there for a few years, so that was pretty exciting.
It was exciting.
I wonder who's more missed, the Vancouver Grizzlies or the Montreal Expos?
I don't know. I'd say definitely the Expos, just because the Grizzlies were only there for like a decade. But at the same time, the Expos, they didn't draw. No one ever showed up.
Well, that's what I mean. So it's like, it's hard to say. It's like, well, yeah, people, I'm sure they're fond of that memory, but it's like, if you, like, teams that move, if they move, like, because the owner, like, for instance, like, you know, when Baltimore left Cleveland in the NFL, that was clearly just the owner's decision.
Right.
Like, fans in Cleveland are rabid.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can't blame attendance on that one.
No.
But, like, if you can't fill the seats, then the fan base really has no right to complain when a team moves.
No.
Like the Quebec Nordiques in hockey, they just left because of economics, not because you know they had you know the opportunity to move to Colorado, not because Nordiques fans didn't go to games
or the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, I mean, and luckily the NHL did the right thing, and when nobody was going to games in Atlanta, they took you know the Thrashers and put them back up into Winnipeg. So, you know, if there's any more southern relocation back to colder climes, I hope Quebec gets a franchise.
And you know. Just to go back to the Expos thing, if Montreal really wanted another team, a team like the A's have basically been for sale without being for sale for a long time.
Right.
So they must, Montreal must not want it that bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think actually, I think baseball is going to expand.
You think so?
I think we're going to get two more teams in the next decade.
Ugh, I don't like that at all.
Well, I mean, you would, like, you know, off the top of your head, you'd think, oh, well, that's just going to dilute, you know, all these teams. But honestly, with the availability of, you know, the Koreans and the Japanese, the Dominicans, Cuba now, I feel like there is enough talent to fill another 50 players.
It probably is. I'd just like to see some franchises that can't get their act together, you know, get it together before you just add more teams into the mix. But that's another
But we're starting to see that, though, with the Royals and the Astros.
That's definitely happened.
I think the days of the Yankees dominating are over.
Yeah, I would say so.
You know?
Yeah.
And not just the Yankees, but I mean just big money in general.
Right. Like, well, look at that. I mean, the Dodgers can basically buy their way into the playoffs.
Can't win.
Once you get there, it doesn't matter.
Right.
I mean, you gotta take care of business. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what kind of talent you have. So we're wrapping it up here on Say Hey, and just to recap the beginning of the program, we are starting a campaign to raise $5,000 for Catalyst Domestic Violence Services here in Chico in wake of all this Greg Hardy BS. And so if you go on Facebook, you can find the event / the donation link. You just type into Facebook, Screw Greg Hardy, Catalyst Chico. That's a title I piggybacked from Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
So go on there and look, make a donation. We're going to do it all the way up to the Super Bowl. And then we're going to give the money to Catalyst the day after the Super Bowl ends. So let's see what we can do.
Yeah, we got about 15 weeks.
We got about 3 months, and change. Yeah. February 7th, I believe, is Super Bowl Sunday. So, Noobs, good show.
Good to see you, as always.
Good to see you. And we are going to take you right out here with Peace Talks Radio. Stick around. It's KZFR.
This is Peace Talks Radio, the series on peacemaking and nonviolent conflict resolution. On our program, we spotlight peacemakers throughout history and today and explore nonviolent conflict resolution strategies that can help all of us deal with conflicts in our daily lives. I'm series producer Paul Ingalls, along with series co-founder and occasional host Suzanne Kreider. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi, Paul.
Hey, we want to start by listening to some voices recorded recently by Suzanne. Let's listen to this.
Australia, Thailand, Burkina Faso,
Okay, most of the countries in Western Europe.
Peru, Bolivia, Argentina, Chile.
Costa Rica, Egypt, Jordan, Palestine, Israel, Syria.